Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Thanks for listening to the Dusty and Cam podcast brought to you by Les Schwab Tire Centers. It'll be the best 45 minutes of your life, I promise. Doing the right thing since 1952.
This is Dusty and Cam in the Morning.
They read poetry at a basketball game.
With Dusty Hera.
You're just one thing, dude. You have to use so many cuss words.
And Cam Cleland.
Nunchuck skills, bow hunting skills, computer hacking skills. Girls only want boyfriends who have great skills.
Dusty and Cam in the Morning.
First you gotta do the truffle shuffle.
Come on!
Do it!
On 1080 The Fan.
Good morning! Happy Wednesday. It's a hump day for you. How you doing this morning?
So I was listening. I'm doing. Oh, you talking to the people out there?
Everybody.
Oh, everybody. Okay, all right.
Talk to your radio. Talk to your phone. Talk to your app.
I like to pretend that nobody's listening.
Okay.
So maybe that's
yeah,
true.
It's just me and you.
That's just if we were just in here. So I mentioned I was riding in the car yesterday with some friends, and then they had a friend in the car.
Uh-oh.
And I mentioned, hey, you know what we talked about yesterday? Movies that we saw when we were younger. Was our first R-rated movie. And I asked this. And one of the gals in the back, she goes, oh, I just saw Chucky when I was 5.
Whoa.
I went, what?
Whoa.
And you know what I did? I proceeded to take every doll out of my room and put them face down in the hallway because I couldn't sleep for a month.
It's a good call. I couldn't imagine.
5?
I saw Silence of the Lambs when I was 8, and you looked at me like I had 2 heads because of that. Chucky at 5, like, that's, you have a doll.
I believe he called you a wackadoodle.
Yeah.
I did. I did. Wackadoodle's mine. I own it. Thank you.
I sit there and I look at that and I'm going, who was it? My Buddy?
Is My Buddy. Chucky? My Buddy.
Like, kids had a My Buddy. Mm. Like, I remember when I saw, I think I didn't see Chucky till I was like 10 or 11.
Mm-hmm.
But I remember being like, dude, I had a My Buddy. I couldn't imagine
that
being.
That little laugh, that little sadistic yeah, little kid
it's like
laugh.
Almost my daughter's age. Like, plopping my daughter in front of Chucky. Yeah, no way.
Wrong? That's what I'm saying. If you're going to see an R movie,
no way.
You need to see a fun R movie, a happy R movie.
Revenge of the Nerds.
So what?
Hand down!
You catch some human anatomy, that's fine.
Yeah.
We can live with human anatomy.
We all have
it. You can't live with sadistic, death-killing doll.
No.
That ends up marrying a doll wife, and they do more doll-killing thing. I mean, they can't do that.
That's not good.
You need to do that. I mean, there's just got to be, there's a rite of passage here.
Yeah.
Can't do that. So I thought that was scary. So anyway.
How is she now? She turned out okay, or?
She seemed okay. But very traumatized by that.
Like, fairly?
Crap, I remember seeing aliens. I slept by my mom's aliens, the plural, not alien. I saw aliens. I had to sleep next to my parents for 3 days.
Well, you lived out in the country where, like, if alien abductions happen, they happen where you grew up.
Yeah, so true.
Why don't aliens ever come to cities?
It's too bright. Lights are too bright. They can see that. Don't you notice that if you look at the Earth from outer space?
Well, I'm assuming they can see. Like,
yes, hey, they're going, hey, I want to go. We want to go where nobody sees anything. We want to get our information and research
done. Are they attracted to banjos?
People don't go to cities to do research. Aliens don't go to cities. They want to go to the rural places because you can just pick them off at the trailer park and nobody's going to miss them. You go to a city, everybody's going to see what you're doing.
Trailer parks... they are targets for tornadoes and aliens.
Tornadoes, right? Aliens, and the best news interviews ever. Post whatever you want to call it. They're great.
I've told you this, that because we lived out in the country, like the closest thing to a city or a neighborhood was local trailer park. And that's where we all went and we hung out as kids. Our parents would just drop us off and there was like 8 kids that lived in there. We had a grand old time out in the boonies.
I don't know if you remember the movie, I've said this before.
Yeah.
One of the greatest trailer park movies ever. Science fiction. The Last Starfighter was based upon a trailer park, and an alien certainly comes down and takes a young man that lives in a trailer park and takes him. He saves the universe.
Hmm. Oh.
Is the last Starfighter? Do you remember the last Starfighter?
I vaguely do. Yeah. I mean, it's been a long time. When you said it, that triggered.
It's an 80s. Yeah, it's, I loved it. It's definitely.
This texture says, I saw it by accident when I was five. I get uneasy with clowns. I'm now 29. Yeah.
Yeah, see, that'll traumatize you the rest of your life.
That and John Wayne Gacy should probably do that for you.
Where did that come from?
John Wayne Gacy was a clown. I didn't know that? The serial killer?
Oh, you're right. It totally slipped my mind. I completely forgot about that one.
Yeah, there's plenty of creeps. Reasons. There's plenty of reasons.
Creepy things about movies. Appreciate that.
Yeah. I have to tell you,
before
we get to our Today in Sports History really quick, I've made a terrible mistake. I'm already regretting it. And it's not even 24 hours since I've made this mistake. My wife, you know, she's a big runner gal. She conned me into, I just flat out agreed to it. I'm doing this Hood to Coast. It's not the Hood Coast. It's a 70-mile race, Hood to Coast relay style.
Yeah, no, yeah, I remember
this. At Brasada Ranch. But no, this one's shorter than the actual Hood to Coast. Hood to Coast
actually at Brasada Ranch.
It has a bunch. No, we finished. That's where
you finished.
But it's a 70-mile race where you run like 6 miles. Like I'll have like 2 6-mile legs, and I've committed to it.
Sounds like Hood to Desert is what that sounds like.
It's not even from the hood. I don't even know where it starts. But I committed to running that, and I'm already regretting it.
How long is each leg of run?
It's like 5 to 6 miles.
Why in the world?
How is it that you were talked into?
Nobody gets talked into that. Were you promised something on the side that you don't get?
No.
What are you doing?
I don't know, man.
You need to get an electric scooter and say, I'm here.
I just feel
I'll drive the bus.
Here's my thought process.
Drive the motorhome.
I was like, man, and I ran track in college. I hated running. Like, there was a moment.
Wait, so why did you run track?
I hated running. And that's one of those things where it's just like.
Run for fun.
People talk about the runner's high, and I was like, never got that. And I remember it was like on a 4 mile run. I was like, I don't like this. I'm done.
Yeah.
And the thought process in my mind was I need to start getting into like better cardiovascular shape. And this will force me to do it.
Sure. I think RJ hit the nail on the head. He made sure that this is the reason why. And it's a promise.
Sex. Yeah.
Yeah. Promise.
I wasn't even promised that. Well, I had leverage and I didn't even use it. I don't know, man.
What? This person says, my buddy ran Hood to Coast solo.
Oh, my
God. What? That's not possible.
It is. He's crazy.
We must have been taking naps on the street. You're not running that.
Have you ever heard of ultra marathons? Like, these people are crazy. Like, they're like.
Ultra runners in general are insane.
Ultra marathon.
I still remember the Forrest Gump quote, we're run for fun. I mean, what are you doing?
Yeah. I know a gal who, one of my buddy's wives, she ran distance. She's like a distance runner at Creighton. She ran a race that was like all the way around Lake Tahoe, which, you know, Lake Tahoe.
Yeah, no, of course it's a crater.
Big area.
That's a long run.
It is a long, long, long run. I couldn't imagine doing that. These people are crazy.
It's like running around Lake Erie.
So my death will be October 6th when I run 2 legs of 6 miles. I don't think I can do it.
This is a long time from now, too. And plus, October means it's going to be a little chilly up there, which you're not going to like it because it's October.
I didn't even think about that. Damn.
You have to wear a lot of clothes. What's the reward for it? What's the reward? Is it a fundraiser? Tell me there's a reward. Tell me that's going to a great charity, that you're running for a charity and something good's going to happen and you're benefiting the kids. Do something. Don't tell me you're just doing it to arbitrarily go out and run. Okay, you got mental problems.
Do you know what it is?
You love your wife.
I told you this is a mistake.
We love our wives,
dude.
But there's a point in time
where it's a mistake.
Do you have life insurance? Is that what we're? Do you have life insurance?
I do. She's trying to kill me.
She's trying to kill you. Life insurance.
She's smart.
What happens?
She's smart.
You've seen. Oh gosh, my mind is gone.
Yeah, I'm jealous of my wife's abs though, and she runs a lot.
Double Jeopardy.
Yeah.
Remember the movie Double Jeopardy?
It is.
Remember the life insurance?
Running.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's one of the sisters, the Judd sisters.
What if I throw this at you? At the end of the night, it's a no kids weekend. So I do that on Saturday.
So sex.
Saturday night.
I mean, you better.
It's hotel too.
Well, you better.
But it's a no kids weekend.
You better.
Does that make it a little bit worth it?
No.
You better not.
No.
You better not.
It's not. You're not even running for a charity. You're just running.
All right. I'll get a charity involved so I make, do it, that'll
something.
Make it feel worth
yes.
it while.
Motivation.
All right.
I ran up the stairs. I remember it was tired. Just like yesterday.
You know what the fountain of youth is, everybody? Pliability. Ugh. Just ask Tom Brady. Stretching, yoga, pliability, making your muscles supple.
I do have a good supple. Flexibility.
That is the fountain of youth, is suppleness in your muscles. Yeah. Muscle that, supple. Supple muscle. I just made my new sports drink.
One
supple muscle.
That's kind of off-putting title, but we can work with that. Yeah.
Try that.
All my years of hurdling, it got me to the point where I could, like, kick my leg up behind my...
There you go.
You can market it with some moist protein bars.
Mm-hmm. Yes. They disintegrate before you even get them in your mouth. Guess that wouldn't be moist.
1985, this day in sports history, Michael Jordan named Rookie of the Year. Sam Bowie, for all you Blazer fans, finished 12th.
How are those number one picks here in Portland going?
He finished 12th in the Rookie of the Year voting.
Let's How did Greg Oden finish?
Injured. A rookie the next year.
Jeez. Yet we want to tank. Let's tank to get the number one pick here in Portland because that's worked out.
Don't talk to me about that.
Your best players have never been top five picks. So stop it. Stop it.
You're fired. Today.
We will discuss lots of things. How long do you hold a sports grudge for? For me, it's quite a while. I'm still cooking on it. Celtics take a 2-0 series lead over the LeBrons. The NBA lottery. We've got... Ooh! If you haven't read it, go to CBSSports.com and read Dennis Dodd's scathing column on the Pac-12. He's saying the Pac-12 may be ripe for pillaging come next TV negotiations. We'll discuss that at 8.
Not just ripe for pillaging, like team pillaging. I'm going conspiracy theory. Teams. You know that Big 12? They only have 10 teams.
It's the Big 12!
Who would jump ship from this conference and leave our conference? I'm saying our.
All of them. Hey, Bill Walton was number one pick.
I don't count that. That was pre-draft or
pre-lottery.
Pre-lottery.
If you look at lottery,
yeah,
picks,
that's different.
If you look at lottery picks, the best players in the lottery era that the Blazers have had, Brandon Roy was like 7th. LaMarcus Aldridge was in the top 5.
He wasn't 5, was he?
He was.
I don't think so.
He was in a trade.
That doesn't count.
Yeah. Well, no, it was a draft day trade. Okay. So it was the Tyrus Thomas trade. LaMarcus Aldridge went 2nd overall to the Bulls, and then on that day they swapped him for Tyrus Thomas. And then, you know, Brandon Roy was in the top 10, but wasn't top 5.
Yeah.
Damian Lillard, obviously, CJ McCollum.
Yep.
You have a good point there. Since the lottery, not good for the Blazers. What were we talking about?
No, I was talking about how all the Pac-12 is going to lose 2 teams.
Oh, yeah. Who's that going to be?
USC.
For you to decide. Well... They're saying it could be, you know what?
We'll save that. I'm going to tell you.
Let's sit on that for 8 o'clock.
Yeah, you guys hang around for about an hour 45. We're going to let you know.
That's what we call a tease, folks.
It's
a long play.
Woo!
It's a long play. But you know who the Big 12 won't get? It rhymes with Baldonado.
This is Dusty and Cam in the Morning on 1080 The Fan.
Oh, man. Great recommendation on bump back music for this song. Jackson Browne, Running on Empty. That's what I'm going to be doing in the whatever the hell thing it is I'm doing. I'm thinking I can hopefully get a round of golf out of it on Sunday, too, because we're staying at Brasada Ranch.
It's a great place.
I've never played there.
Beautiful course.
You know who lives there? Your favorite head coach.
Which one?
Rick Neuheisel.
Oh, Rick.
Cam, that's it. Cam into a coughing fit. Yeah.
The pollen is really bad right now, by the way. I just, your cars are littered with it, so I'm coughing up a storm. But I tried to say, spit out Slick Rick.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe we should sit around the fire and have Rick serenade us with his beautiful, you know, I think he plays a Taylor.
He kind of has a little, doesn't he have a little John Denver sound to him?
He's good. He's good. Good artist. Yeah. He's got, you know, any guys that can sit around strum the strings.
Bling. I still don't know how to play guitar.
Did you just go bling? Bling. That's a banjo. Bling. That would be a what are you doing here? Yeah, dueling banjos.
Speaking of that pollen, that is what Robinson Cano and I have in common. I had my allergy problems yesterday. I'm on the steroids.
I did too.
You're We're on both. Steroids?
Oh, I took a big shot to the butt.
You're on the juice now, huh?
I did.
Wait, what?
That's where they inject.
Rewind.
No, that's where
mark
they
mark that. That's no. a drop.
That's where they inject. Mm-hmm. Usually you take it in the soft tissue area. Mm-hmm. So it's, that's where you used to take the, anytime I got a Toradol shot in the NFL, that's where they, you know,
right in the
drop trowel and boop, there tushy. You go, there you go.
Okay. Well, Robinson Cano was suspended 80 games by Major League Baseball for taking the banned substance, a diuretic called furosemide, which...
makes you pee.
Yeah, water basically waters everything down. It's
supposed to be a masking agent.
It is a masking agent.
Not and supposed it is, to. It is.
It's for kidneys. Like it's supposed to help you with kidney failure and blood pressure stuff. And that's what Robinson Cano is saying. That this is because he went to back to the Dominican, his homeland, and he his physician there said, "Man, you got high blood pressure. I need to put you on this." And he put him on furosemide. And what that did is he obviously didn't go through his proper protocol. And Major League Baseball said, all right, that's a masking agent. We found it in your system.
Uh-huh.
And then they popped him with an 80-game suspension. And it's just not that easy because that's Robinson Cano's side of the story. But Major League Baseball, the way that they go through things is a little bit different, where they sit there and they go, all right, if we find a masking agent, we have to be able to determine the intent of it. And ESPN's TJ Quinn said that Cano tested positive before the season, and he appealed. During the appeal, Major League Baseball was able to find his intent of using this diuretic was to cover up his performance-enhancing drug use, to the point where Robinson Cano said, fine, you caught me, hands up, I'll sit 80 games.
So who do you believe?
I tend to believe Major League Baseball.
You believe Major League Baseball because this is what Major League Baseball has done. This is what steroid era has done to all of us. It's not the ball anymore because the ball is the same. Mm-hmm. Same ball.
Mm-hmm. Not what?
It's not. No, I mean, it's not the ball. Okay. Yeah. Oh, you mean somebody's leather's gotten tighter all of a sudden?
Seams, man.
Seams have gotten tighter. No, it's not the ball. Ball is still the same aerodynamics. The parks have gotten smaller. They moved the fences in. Mm-hmm. The pitchers have gotten bigger. They throw harder. Mm-hmm. Okay. It's not the bats. They're still made of wood.
Yeah.
You can't steroid wood. So all this now is baseball has trained us to say it has nothing to do with the bats, the balls, the park. Throwing harder, it has to do with the bottle. Hmm. That's what we're trained to think now. No matter how you look at it, anytime somebody does something out of the ordinary in baseball, it's immediately a bottle problem.
Right.
And so now
he's juicing.
Yeah, you know, that's the first thing out of somebody's mind. You say it, I say it, everybody else looks at it. Anytime you go, "Oh my gosh, Aaron Judge. Oh, what's he on?" You don't even bat an eyelash now. And this is what Major League Baseball has done. This is what that era has tainted us. So I say this, who cares about drugs anymore? I say it and I say, who cares? Because it's never in our lifetime, it's not going to go away. It's going to be the first thing uttered from your mouth. Masking agent, whatever you want to say, fountain of youth, you want to take whatever type of, what is it? I mean, we're taking growth hormone to make you play longer. I want to see players like Robinson Cano play longer. I don't care what he takes, but that's a me issue. I'm tired of hearing about the bottle.
And he is at that point in his career where this is where guys, he's 35 years old.
He's got 5 more years.
He's got 5 years left on his deal where he's going to be getting paid before this, it was going to be $120 million left on his deal. Now it's $108 because he loses $12 million with his 80-game suspension. But don't feel bad. He's still making $12 million more this year. But I sit there and I look at it and I go, okay, so both of us just talked about how we took a steroid to help our allergies, right?
Yeah.
Something that we can do that they obviously cannot do. I do feel bad for Robinson Cano if his story is true, but at the same time, Major League Baseball's protocol is they have to be able to determine intent. And Robinson Cano was appealing this suspension because it happened at the beginning of the year, before the season started, in spring training. So they went all the way up until this point, so we're like 3 months into this.
How many samples do they have to take of him to be able to find something that says, we got you?
Well, no, it was determining intent, which is not even from a sample. All they needed was that one positive test, because he has since tested clean, and according to reports, that is. He's since tested clean, but here's the thing is that they said, Major League Baseball has it clearly laid out that if you test positive for a masking agent, we have to determine that you took that specifically to cover up a performance-enhancing drug test. And apparently there was something that Major League Baseball found that made Robinson Cano go, yeah, I'm going to drop my appeal now. You know?
Yeah, so what is it? What is it?
It is a performance-enhancing drug. And but my thing is, like you, I don't care.
How many care? Realistically, how many out of the... If I pulled 10 people, how many deep down inside really feel that baseball is so bad if somebody does something like that, like takes an allergy? So what? So if you have really bad allergies, let's say, and you're an outdoor baseball player, which everybody is, and you're having a hard time breathing, like in things like that, or you're coughing and all that, and you take a steroid shot, you mean to tell me that that's going to help you perform better? Well, of course it is. So you can breathe. Mm-hmm. So you can have better. You can take an inhaler. Is that performance enhancing? Mm-hmm. Whatever you want to do. If a guy gets slobberknockered, gets slickered every single day and goes out and plays relaxed because he can play with what? Alcohol in his system. That's performance enhancing because it's relaxing them. Whatever we do for the rest of our lives, any way you can look at it, I can say it's performance enhancing. That's no matter what with Barry Bonds, and I know the enlarged head and winning an MVP. At how old was he when he won his last MVP? I think he was 39.
Yeah, I mean, 39, something like that, yeah.
So it's just not right for an older person to be able to do that. So it just doesn't seem fair. Baseball's going to be on this charge for the rest of their days until everybody gets over the fact that you just allow athletes to be athletes and do what they need to do.
Right.
It's not about the cheating factor. That's not what this is about anymore. These are paid professionals. You're not cheating once you're a paid professional anymore. You're not, because everybody's on the same playing field.
And this is where I go back to it. Like, we were just talking about how you and I, and you're laying out how everybody can go out, get a shot, and your allergies, right?
Yeah.
Well, if you and I wanted to, and we're feeling like we have low energy and we're just not the same people we were, we could go and go to a doctor,
get
prescribed human growth hormone, right?
Because of quality of life.
And that is where I think that when we look at our professional sports, it's like if something is regulated and it helps you perform better and it's not as dangerous as, you know, a lot of these rules and a lot of the stigmas were around like these unregulated, you know, cattle steroids that are dangerous for your body. If it is regulated and use it in low doses, you can sit there and you can say, hey, it can help you perform better in a healthy manner, right? But it's abuse, and that's what people just want to sit there, and they want to go, we don't want to see people abusing these things. I get why there's this overreaction, because it's tainting the record books or whatever. At some point, we just probably should go, let's throw the record books out and let these guys do it, because rewrite the new record books, because we don't know who's clean and who's dirty a lot of the time.
Records are one thing and one thing only, made to be broken.
Yeah,
that's what records are. They're made to be. They're not meant to be one for the rest of all time. You can say, "Oh, it's never going to be broken" or anything. That's what they're there for. That's why it's called the fastest man in the world. The world record in the 100 meters is meant to be broken. That's why it's there. You want to break it? Try it. Do whatever you can. That's what we do. The human evolution's never going to change, too. And I just also know this for certain: there are a lot smarter people finding more ways to enhance the human body via science and drugs than there are ones trying to figure out how to stop it.
Well, and
I guarantee you that.
Here's this text at 55305. Hank Aaron probably cares. And to this, and I know that a lot of people won't like this, and they're going to be like, that's a dumb take, but here's how I think about this. Players now are so far advanced in weight training programs and all of that, that when you look at bigger, stronger, faster, Hank Aaron even was from a science standpoint of just, you know, weight training. superior to the guys who played before him. These guys are even far more superior.
Yeah.
And we just sit there and we go, okay, so the training regimens have gotten so much better.
The investment on your body, LeBron James spending $1 million on his body with cryotherapy, everything, the investing, just understanding, I've said this over and over again, if I knew the diets and how to train and how to do all the things that they do now, I could have just extended my career 5+ years. But we didn't have that kind. Now there's so much, and we take that for granted.
So the much discipline. Legal stuff that you can.
Oh, yeah. And everyone says, well, Hank Aaron. Well, Hank Aaron probably just got off the bus, had a beer, hit the ball, got on the bus again, maybe did a couple calisthenics, did some jumping jacks and got after. That is what their routine was. Mm-hmm. You take some of those athletes now and put them into this year, this time, this era. Yeah, they'd be pretty incredible. Yeah. No matter what, they're going to be incredible either then or now.
55305, that is a fan text line. Tool truck guy. Haven't heard from him. Haven't seen his sign in a while. He says, I love steroids in baseball. Chicks always dig the long ball. You know, this is going to be interesting to see not just where it goes from here for the Seattle Mariners, because, man, this franchise can't catch a break. But Robinson Cano's legacy as he moves forward. He was careening down a Hall of Fame career path. And at 35 years old, he gets popped for this. So we'll see. Mariners won't have him for 80 games, but the good news is for Mariner fans, you probably weren't going to have him for 2 months anyway.
Hey, you won last night with a walk-off. That's all that matters, 11 innings.
That's what I'm talking about.
A walk-off.
All right, 55305. One more on Cano and PED stuff coming up later. You guys are all fired up this morning. I love it. Textual relations, though. Hit it with us. 55305. How long do you hold a sports grudge? One Super Bowl winner continues his hatred of the team they beat. Dusty and Camel.
Let's get texty.
I left a message.
A message? What number did you call?
2-4-9-5-6-7-8.
I can't hear you. You're trailing off. And did I catch a niner in there? Were you calling from a walkie-talkie?
No, it was cordless.
Text us now at 55305. Message and data rates may apply.
Just want to leave my number. Anyway, I think I was weird or desperate.
This is Textual Relations on the show that likes to be, over text. Dusty and Cam in the morning on 1080.
The brain of that person to actually say that?
The Fan.
All right, 55305. That is the Fan text line. Dusty here, Cam Cleland with you. Super Bowl champion Lane Johnson is on a tour right now where he is going around and he's still talking to people about the Super Bowl win of the Philadelphia Eagles. And he went on a podcast with, of all people, Stone Cold Steve Austin, which kind of makes sense, but not in the fact that nobody would have ever thought that a Stone Cold Steve Austin podcast would make national headlines. But yet he's doing it again. After he went on Pardon My Take, which is almost a sports satire podcast where he said, we have fun in winning one and they're miserable winning four or whatever he said. This one now with Stone Cold, he says that what pisses me off is the Patriots. Obviously, I respect their coach, Bill. I respect Tom Brady, but it's the way they won Super Bowls, the Patriot way. Is that supposed to be how anybody else is supposed to do the same thing? No, it's not. And I got mad at the arrogance by them. He said that Robert Kraft, Bill, was talking smack to the Eagles owner. Bill Belichick was talking smack to Doug Peterson before the game, and he said, you know, he's still holding a grudge against the New England Patriots despite the fact they beat them.
Talk about getting in your head. You ever had somebody that you can't stop thinking about because they got in your head so much? Lane Johnson has the Patriots in his head 4 months later.
Yeah.
Still. Which, fine.
And they won.
Yeah. They did. I think they got the ring. They'll have a nice, beautiful ring. I think they did win. But that's kind of what it is. Once you're on top and you're the best of the best, you're the elites, everybody is trying to knock you off and trying to bring you down a level. And do you think Tom Brady, Bill Belichick, and Robert Kraft are talking about Lane Johnson and the Eagles right now?
I bet Bill Belichick is obsessing over the Eagles, but not because of anything they said. It's because he lost a football game to them.
Yeah. That's probably when you know you have somebody hook, line, and sinker.
Yeah.
In your head.
And nothing to do with the game.
Whose song is that? In your head. Is that? Oh, you know what I'm talking about. That's a song.
I don't know.
Zombie.
What?
That's the name of the song. The text police will get you.
Okay. Yeah. But yeah, it is, man. Yeah. And so that is, this grudge is interesting because they came out on the winning side of it, and he still has it, mm-hmm. you know? And that gets us to sports grudges. Should Lane Johnson have this one? And what is a sports grudge you can't get rid of? 55305. Oh, the Cranberries.
The Cranberries. That's what it is.
The Cranberries.
My computer sucks, so I don't have a screen right now, so I can't read
it. Okay. Textures, we got it. The Cranberries. A lot of people with the Cranberries that are.
Yeah, they came in hot and heavy. I knew they'd get. They'd help me out.
Yeah, I didn't know.
You remember the Cranberries?
Oh, yeah, I know.
Zombie. Yeah. That's the name of it.
Go ahead, sing it. Sing a little bit more.
No, I didn't need to.
Sing a little bit more.
This is a talking program.
Okay. Well, 55305 is the fan text line, and Lane Johnson not being able to let go of this one is one that I absolutely love. And this text says, as long as I can, I will hold a sports grudge. I still hate Missouri. They knocked Marquette out of the tournament like 10 years ago, and he's still holding on to it. I can't remember what team that would have been, Marquette in the losing to Missouri. Was that the one that, like, Dwayne Wade and, what's the guy's name, Tyler Diener? Is that the kid's name? Did they lose to Missouri? Because that was like 15 or 16 years ago that one happened, the D. Wade Marquette team. Do you have any long-term ones that you hold on to? You are not a big sports grudge guy.
I'm not a big sports grudge guy. I don't have a lot of hate or grudges toward sports. One that sticks out to me is an arbitrary one that you probably like. It's not that big a deal. But Wally Szczerbiak still drives me crazy to this day because he knocked my dogs out in 1999 in the Sweet 16.
Miami of Ohio.
We would have gone to an Elite Eight at that time, and I thought it would have made a good run. But it was just heart-wrenching at the time watching that. It had been a long time since it happened. So, yeah, I had a Wally Szczerbiak hate for quite some time. Strangely enough, it just this one guy, Wally Szczerbiak.
Really?
No idea why. I just held on to it because he knocked us out.
His square jaw and just raining threes. Oh,
and he played, man, I think he would score like 35 points.
I remember that game. Like, that was one where you're just like, whoa.
It was maddening.
Stop the white guy. Like, you know what he's going to do.
Miami of Ohio? Where are we? Miami? There's no. Miami is in Florida. Irritating.
I've got one and he's on my own team.
Get it.
I want to hear from you, though. 55305. We got a lot of them coming in. And leave us, you just text us what sports grudges are all about. Dusty and Cam on the Fan. All right, 55305 is the fan text line. We're talking sports grudges. Lane Johnson can't get over the Patriots. We're getting yours. We had some good texts coming in. And leave us, just hit us with 2004 Boston Red Sox. I will hate them forever for what they did to his Yankees.
To his poor Yankee? What?
Well, I mean, that was...
In 2004?
There was a 3-0 series lead, and they overcame it. You had the bloody sock, and then it jump-started.
Okay.
It broke the curse. And really, the
27 championships later, giant bloody river.
But that actually made it a rivalry again, which Yankee fans hate, because they just wanted to stomp them into the mud continually.
Okay.
For a lifetime.
Oh.
So.
Hatred.
Yeah, you can see that. I can understand that. Mariners fans and urine sample collectors. That's a good
the
one.
The pee guy is a very important pee guy.
How
much
do you think you get paid?
You get paid pretty handsomely.
Well, yeah, to watch people pee all day? Like, because you literally have to watch people pee.
He's a professional meat gazer. What more do you want?
I got nothing there.
You can't. You can't go into a stall.
Yeah.
It's dropped down to the ankles, shirt pulled up. You have to tuck your shirt under your chin or take your shirt off. Either way, it has to be full exposure. You can't have any else. So those samples are, it's not like you can't get it mixed up here.
Well, the Wizinator.
Remember the Wizinator?
Ontario Smith.
Yeah, man.
Former Duck. Go Ducks.
So I remember the guy going, hey, you get the little piece of paper in your locker in the morning. You're on your Gatorade and water tour. You're like, okay, I got to get hurry up.
Can't drink too much, though.
No, and you want to get it done before your first meetings because then you're just worried about it all day.
Yeah, that's true. Because you take your steroids after meetings.
I usually do.
LSU fan here. You best believe I'm going to be hating Troy the rest of my existence. Yeah, it was a shaky start for Ed Orgeron at LSU when you lose to Troy and then the world was falling apart. But then you take a look
at... You battled back.
Well, what LSU... And the reason why this guy hates Troy, and that's a silly one because of the fact that, like, you're still LSU at the end of the day, and your team went 9-4. But if they would have gone, you know, 9-3 in the regular season, where are they at from a bowl consideration? Where are they at in the SEC West standings at that point? I mean, it could have changed kind of the landscape of where they were. So I guess you can hate them for that. Duck fan chimes in with, F you, Michael Dyer. Yeah, I haven't let that go. 2011 national championship game.
I'm on that train too.
Michael Dyer was down.
I'm not mad at Michael Dyer. I'm mad at the refs for not calling it.
Oh, the refs. It's the refs' fault.
Well, if you think a player was down, it's the refs' fault.
Of course. And you need to hold on to that.
Why would
too.
I blame Michael Dyer?
He didn't make anything wrong. It's not his fault.
Yeah, Michael Dyer was down. That's like the, because right after that, you know, two plays later, they get
game winning field goal.
Well, one play later, they're in field goal range, and then they just take a knee and kick a field goal.
Yeah, that is that game winner. That's infuriating.
National championship.
It's infuriating.
Oh,
because you're that close,
yet so far away.
Yeah.
And you know, this one, there's a differentiation here with, obviously, as a Duck fan, but I'll never let my grudge of OSU go. I want them relegated, winless seasons year after year, every single thing about them.
I had no idea that there was that kind of evisceration of visceral
reaction.
Sorry.
It's okay.
Visceral hate between the two. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I do, but...
Like, that's deep, dark hate.
But then, where's the difference? The
relegation, and then that's down to the core of... It's not like I look at the Cougs and go, I want you out of the conference, and I want you to lose the rest of your life. I just want you to lose the Apple Cup.
See, and
that's just me. I mean, that's me. And with the Ducks, I mean, I look at this, I go, all right, I want Oregon to do well until they play my team.
Yeah.
But I'm not looking for that program to go down to the armpit of the world.
See, that's
pure hate.
That's a difference between a rivalry and a grudge to me. Like, a grudge is a singular moment, right? That happens. Like, Blazer fans, you can hold a grudge against Robert Horry, you know, because knocking down corner threes. You can hold your grudge against Tim Donaghy for, you know, rigging it for the Lakers, right? But, like, a grudge to me, and I have a grudge that's against a guy that was on my own team, Brad Lidge.
Yeah, this one's weird to me because you've already won a title, so share that with everybody.
Still have it, though. It was the NLCS Game 5 against the St. Louis Cardinals. Brad Lidge gave up a rubbernecking home run to Albert Pujols where it just, like, his head just snapped back. And I will never forget the meltdown that he had ensuing after that, to where he was never the same. And they ended up winning that series and going on getting swept by the Chicago White Sox, in part because Brad Lidge couldn't pitch, but also in part because the White Sox just steamrolled the Astros in that series. But I still hold a grudge to Brad Lidge in a series that the Astros won, but he was never the same after that.
Talking about holding on to it. Buck, what do you have? I mean, that's intense holding on to.
Yeah,
that's longevity. But do you have any?
I have a little bit in the same boat of it's against my own team. The 2002 World Series, San Francisco Giants against the Angels. And Dusty Baker gave Russ Ortiz the game ball as he pulled him from the game. As in, good job, keep this for, you know, posterity's sake when we win this thing. And the Giants go on to blow a 5-0 lead in game six. They then go to lose game seven. I don't know why, as a manager, somebody who's been around the game forever.
So Dusty Baker, you hold that grudge?
Yeah. I mean, I don't, he did great things for the Giants and everything, but I'm like, how in that moment could you possibly do that? This is baseball where you don't jinx anything, where you don't want anything like that to happen. And he gives the start of the game ball like you already won this game, kid. Come on.
Wow. That's tough. Look at Buck there.
You know what? Your guys' grudges are grudges towards your players, yet you have championships on the back end to match your grudge, which is so strange
to me. Oh, it's lightened up a lot since the three world championships.
That's what I'm saying, is that you can, he can have a grudge, Dusty can have a grudge of the tuck rule, but Or, I mean, Raiders fan. I'm sorry. Raiders fan could have a tuck. That's true. Or you could have anger towards, what is the one you had? The David Tyree. You'll go, oh, that catch. The grudge of the anger of the Giants and the Eli. But you got five titles.
Mine's of Eli Manning's face.
Yeah, yes, it's not supposed to happen.
Should be seven.
Yeah. Can I tell you that as I've read through this text line today, as everybody's lit us up some really good stuff, I've seen a good theme here. There's a lot of kickers. I have a sports grudge
of
kickers that I lost opportunities, me personally. My team lost opportunities to go to the Rose Bowl and the Super Bowl because of my kickers.
I think that would be a big one.
And that is why when I talk about this, guys, I want you to understand the root of my hatred towards it. I just think the kickers have ruined more opportunities for my teams than in my experiences.
It's not arbitrary. It holds a personal place.
It is a personal grudge against kickers. Just saying, so you know. And there's a couple kicker grudges on this text
line. San Diego Chargers fan saying Nate Kading, because then Nate Kading cost them, I think, back-to-back years in the playoffs against the Jets and, was it the Chiefs? Almost in back-to-back years, Nate Kading just couldn't knock one through the uprights for the Chargers. Understand that one.
P1 Dustin says, I will always hate John Casey for shanking that kickoff in the Panthers-Patriots Super Bowl. Dusty doesn't hate him for that.
I love it.
How do you mess up a kickoff for the love of all that is holy on earth? I'm with
that
you.
That gave them just
I'm with time. You. I'm with you, Dust. Yeah. I'm with you.
I'm from the Bay. I was and still am a huge A's fan. I was at the game with my dad in Oakland. Ricky Henderson was my favorite player. I was 8. I asked him for an autograph before the game during BP. He looked at me dead in the eye and said, no, then walked away. Not a Henderson fan still. Meeting your heroes is not always the best
thing. No, I sometimes tell you, don't put them on a pedestal because you might not like the pedestal they're on. And is this possible here? Coug fan. Cougars find a way to coug it every year, causing me to have gray hair in my early 30s.
Whoa.
Can you have a grudge to your own college?
Yes, you can. Absolutely.
As a whole?
Absolutely.
You can grudge against your own?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
One thing I know in this world, cooging it is real.
If it happens to you one time, then no. But over and over and over and over again, yes. And leave us with the Blazers and the top lottery pick. That's probably a good one. You should hold a grudge against that and just be like, we don't want number one. Just give us number two. Don't let us screw this thing up.
Ooh.
What?
That's
Here's the most outrageous one we found. My friend lost to Louisiana Tech in NCAA football dynasty mode, and he hates everything Bulldog in real life now. Even Terry Bradshaw and Karl Malone.
Ow. Commitment to the game.
I mean, you lost in a make-believe world, and you translate it to the real world. I like that.
That's like when you have a dream that involves someone, and they wrong you, and you wake up mad at that person, even though they didn't actually do anything.
And you still hold that against it. In my dream, you did that to me.
Patriots beating the Seahawks. I hate the Patriots. Now, do you hate the Patriots or do you hate Daryl Bevel? That's the question. Why do you hate the Patriots for intercepting that ball?
Hate Daryl Bevel. Hate Pete Carroll for allowing the call.
Well, Daryl Bevel called it. Well, you can hate both those guys.
Do that.
Tag team them. Don't hate the Patriots for intercepting the pass on the goal line.
How about you hate Malcolm Butler?
Sure.
For studying tape and saying, hey, I know this formation.
See,
what are they going to do?
And that's what I love is that, like, we got a lot of Michael Dyer. We're getting a lot of, you know, I hate the Patriots as a whole. But, you know, Blazer fans don't like Robert Horry for ripping out their hearts. And a lot of teams don't like Big Shot Bob for doing that. Mm. Like, I'm wondering how much of it is directed at teams and how much of it is directed at individuals. Because on the text line, it's a lot of individuals like Mike Ditka for not allowing Walter Payton to score a touchdown. You know,
I forgot about that.
He gave it to the fridge.
Fridge had the ability, but Sweetness never got a touchdown in that game. I think he was 55-10.
That sucks. And
was
he
it like 55? Yeah, it was a complete obliteration.
It was a blowout, man. We don't talk about that.
Wow. We didn't talk about that. Read that Ryan Leaf one.
Well, Alexis Serna here missed 3 PATs at LSU, and the Beavers lost.
There you go.
I don't care that he won the Groza. He actually was talking about walking back to Oregon after that. Like, he was in a dark place after that. And he ended up being the best kicker in football next year.
Well, that's what you get when you're a kicker.
Ryan Leaf told me to go F myself when I asked him for an autograph at a Wazoo basketball game after he was drafted. We'll always have a grudge against him for that.
Second chances.
That's why my interaction with Craig Biggio, mm-hmm. like meeting your hero, it was perfect. Like, he was the guy I'd hoped he would be. And a lot of times you meet your biggest, your biggest star that you love, and it lets you down a little bit.
Mine is Will Clark, and it's like he can wear wings and float.
Yeah, you had a great experience.
He can
with
walk
him.
Across this river right now. Will Clark, he can literally walk right across by himself. Whoa. He is that level.
Wow. All right. 55305 Sports Grudges. Who are yours? When do you let them go? Dusty and Cam coming up next. We go into our hot and cool, and the Celtics take a commanding lead. Oh, oh,
oh, O'Reilly. Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Oh, 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 O'Reilly.